Blog Talk Radio.
The following is suitable for all audiences. So tell everyone, tell all audiences, general audiences, in the rated G sense, tell everybody with ears and eye to listen up. You know, even in the hearing impaired community, there's got to be some way to transcribe this. Transcribe the show into sign language for them, because everybody needs to get involved. You're listening to the show Cocooning from the Microphone. Here, with DJ Butterfly Feces, the one, the only, and he's continuing his tale about what happened on his world discovery. It is 9 o'clock sharp here on the program. It is nine. Anywho, we're going to rip it all up for you. Right this second. Okay. Where do I begin? Get involved with the cause. We're at 1-515-905-6709. That's 1-515-605-9709. 1-515-605-9709. Okay, now if you listen to the program, if you're just joining us, where have you been? A revolution is happening, and I don't think enough people have gotten behind it. Because this involves the whole dang world right here. I, DJ Butterfly Feces, was living in my hometown of McKinleyville, California. I've been living there my whole life. Until one day enough was enough. I had to see the rest of the world. My parents couldn't even afford to keep me around. But you know what? I said, so be it. I hit the road. My God, I was going to be a vagrant. Cast adrift like so much. Anywho, what happened was, later that night as I was in the forests of McKinleyville, and we have some beautiful forests out there, I stumbled across the one, the only organic okay. An entrepreneur, basically, type who, how do I put this? He had basically gotten a hold. I bumped into him, and, well, I'm sorry, I'm lost here for a second. Yes. I was down the street. I bumped into Organic OK, and I told him. You know what I told him? I told him this. I told him, I said, I just got kicked out. I'm officially homeless now. And he said to me that he was a wealthy man who was going all around and basically, how do I put this? This trying to save and help the collective consciousness of humanity itself. In a big way, I didn't understand. He told me. Dang him, he told me. He said, he's going all around, he's trying to help basically make the evolution, the truly disenfranchised. It's sad that they're called bums. Some of us prefer the term vagrants. I prefer vagabonds. That's term, that doesn't have quite the perfect ring to it. Vagabonds, yeah. That's what I call them. Anywho, that's what happened. I was actually one of them. He told me to get down on one knee, and I did. He told me to propose. He touched me with two fingers on the shoulder. He said, I dub the DJ Butterfly Feces. I told him that basically I'd been on Blog Talk Radio before, and I wasn't really truly a DJ. I was a guy who used this radio forum to honest to whatever you believe in, editorialize. You know, what's wrong with the world? We can save the world. We can all create a greater tomorrow if we just... A lot of that going around. Why? Because technology is better than it's ever been, but in a lot of ways, things are bad. We're still not where we need to be now, are we? Are we? Some days, things are getting worse. Have we reached a tipping point? Has humanity already peaked a while ago? Are we just going downhill now? Did the wine stop getting more fine with time? Has it just turned to vinegar? Are we burning out? Have we become a sticky residue by now? I don't know. But he dubbed it that DJ Butterfly feces. See, this is his theory. Now, actually, it's not really a theory. This is so much as a natural fact of nature. The caterpillar spins a cocoon for itself. Work and harvest, work hard, become a butterfly. Now, so many people talk all about that because the perfect metaphor for life is in that. You get in your little workshop and you work and work and work. We're toiling away until one day you're what you need to be. And the butterfly only lasts for a few days. But we're all fleeting, aren't we? Look at the cockroach. It's been around since before the dinosaur and whatever, but even one day the cockroach is going to go extinct. Why? Because that's life. Everything ends at some point. Even individual cockroaches, the actual lifespan of a cockroach itself isn't very long. You're going to be dead before you know it. We've got to create the world utopia in the here and now and what have you before it really is too late. Anywho, that's what he told me. And you know what? He made me part of an expedition. He told me he was well off. He was an entrepreneur type worth several hundred thousand dollars. I asked him why he was basically dressed like that, and he told me he was going on his trip to help the world, help the counterculture, the homeless and whatever, make it so they get by and what have you. And you know what? Chicken butt. You really know what? He wanted me to be the messenger, the prophet. I jumped at the chance like a spider frog. Do they have those? Spider frog. I'm pretty sure I've heard of it. Spider frog. Wait, hold on. Let's take a look that up. Hold on. I think they have those. Okay. Spider frog. I knew it. They do have those. That's a real thing. That's a thing. That is a thing. Oh. Maybe it's not really a... Never mind, this is ridiculous. I'm not even going to tell you what I just saw when I looked up spider frog. But you get the point, don't you? Of course you do. Anywho, we drove all over, and I did more living in one lifetime, basically. I did more living than most people do in a lifetime. We went around from place to place, and I saw the world. Some people live a nice, safe little life. You think about those, look at the actual soldiers who basically go out and find the military, and they're turned into killing machines, more or less, and whatever. And you know what? Some of them die very young, but they die for a great cause, and they see more than those do in a lifetime. There has to be more to life than just knowing you got old. Things were bad. I don't know what to do. I don't know. He took me all around. I don't know why I'm telling you previously on our show, but you should be catching up with this. But just in case you haven't been listening and somehow looking at our following, I get the strange feeling you haven't been. He took me. It was a big convoy. He basically financed this whole trip. We were going around like truckers, you know, in our whole trip. I called us the traveling circus. It was me, Organic OK, and several of his followers, whatever, in the Winnebago, and the several trucks that followed went on the road. Now, when they picked me up, I was in McKinleyville, California. We went elsewhere. We drove all the way down to Florida at one point. We were in Seattle, Washington. We were in Scottsdale, Arizona. We went all the way over to Seattle, Washington, really. We went all over, and things, I believe we made a change. Those of you who weren't listening, somehow Seattle, Washington, a lot of ways, was the hardest. Why? Because we were in a cold climate. Now, I know, basically, in good old McKinleyville, we saw some snow. But there's snow in California, and then there's snow everywhere else. Snow, you know. And in a place like Seattle, when it wasn't raining, that dang snow is cold. Even with the greenhouse effect kicking in, it was more than just... I shouldn't tell you this, but I saw people who had shown that they'd frozen to death. It was a thing that commonly happened a lot. You think about how hard it was in school, you know. Sometimes, some people try to remember school as a time of all sunshine and rainbows, whatever. You remember what being a kid was like. All the other kids were beating and brutalizing you. There were times when basically you just couldn't fight back. You were numbered. They all gang up, beat, tease you, whatever. You had to be like everybody else. You got beat up. It wasn't all sunshine for anybody. Unless you were one of those people who really it was for. But then when you got out in adult life, it's like, wow. I wasn't as prepared for the adult world as I thought I was going to be. But anyway, the point is that, really, honestly, in one of the places we went to, like, this, okay, Seattle, actually. That's right, home of the Space Needle, home of that big arcway, home of the coldest winters that America has. You can't get any cold without going to Canada. I think we went there too, actually. Didn't we? Yeah, I remember, yeah. But the point is, really, honestly, you understand how harder it is for people basically in cold climates when they're homeless. You understand. The point being is, and this is a big one, so pay close attention. Really, honestly, I saw somebody die out there. You know people die. You see sitcoms and movies about it, but they're just actors acting. And even when you basically see, when you see a news report of people dying, whatever, it's different when you're there. Especially when you just met them. I just met that woman. She was blind and deaf when I talked to her. She caught some disease was messing her up, and the weather was only cause to finish her off. I saw somebody try to revive her, and he didn't. He couldn't. And I got to tell you something, I was never the same way again. Some people just never are. I don't know. I don't know. Let me just say this much. We've been all over, and I believe in some places we made a change. One thing we did was try to go to the news affiliates and try to make sure they did as much story as the homeless epidemic as possible. I tried to basically unite more people together so that all the homeless people felt like they're in the same boat. It's the biggest problem with America. We don't have the unity. The United States isn't united like it should be. The states are united. Even Hawaii and Alaska are connected somehow, only legally. The people are too... We're too divided, aren't we? That's the thing. We're not united. Maybe the first step to doing that... Well, actually, what tonight's episode is about... Last episode? Yep, now, here it is. We're coming to, basically, when we get into the new stuff, folks. I was in the Bronx, New York. And once again, Bronx is another place in New York where the weather is very cold. Not Seattle, believe me, you can feel a difference. But I was on the east instead of the west coast. I just come out of Los Angeles. 15 minutes after the hour here on the program, Kakuna from the microphone here with DJ Butterfly PCs. Please get involved. Where are you? We're at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1 515-605-9709. The show is brought to you by Organic OK, and he tells you to check out a recording artist called Maya Harrison. You get a big kick out of her. Now, where was I? Oh, yes, now I remember. The temperature is... I don't really know that, because I only know where is where I'm calling from. You know, we have a thermometer in here. You notice how nobody has a thermometer anymore? Do they have them in their phones now, like everything else? Like, is that why it's like the same as nobody wears a watch anymore? Come on. I mean, even old people are on social media. Even they're doing everything by their phone now. We're in the Bronx. I was basically talking to all these people. Whatever. I talked to them about how much I respected them, how much I really did admire them, how much they were going through. I told them about Organic OK, and I told them he was basically... He was basically, well, helping. He was a guiding light on all this. I was careful not to tell anybody that he was rich. And basically when people think rich, they think a guy, someone who's holding onto a chunk, like a big chunk, a movie star with $13 million per picture. And as Organic OK explained to me, no, see, that ain't rich. A lot of people basically, there are people who look at Hollywood pulling down that kind of money, and then they're always broke again because they spent it as fast as they could make it. This is a fact. This is a fact of life. Rich means you always have assets that are pouring money in. But I didn't quite tell them that. What I said was that we were drifters on the road in our car, in our convoy, whatever. We're going around trying to make sure that all the homeless were united somehow. I was a little cautious around this neighborhood because one thing I know about ghetto neighborhoods is that if they don't recognize you, you're not actually from the neighborhood. They look at you as the enemy. I mean, even if you got a even if you have an official, you know, registered place to live, an apartment complex, an apartment or a house, when you're in the Bronx, I mean, when you're in the ghetto, when you're in the hood, still live like somebody who's basically like a rat in a tin, you know what. Whatever. I try to get everybody behind this cause. I went to Organic OK. Hey, listen, it ain't so easy. I mean, they're already, I think some of them are already kind of united together because people, the community tend to, but they're not warm enough to me, so they don't know me. And I'm not going to be around for them long. I said, how do I get them connected? He looked at me and he said, dude, just do it. You can do it. That's what you do. You do what you do. You know how to do what you do. I told everybody that it would really work well if they were united. They were all one big communal shared community. Communal and community are the same thing. I was trying to find another synonym for that, but, you know. To do what to do. Tell you one thing. It wasn't going to be as easy. I thought about some changes that happened in Seattle. Thought about some changes that happened, all whatever, but you know, it's a cold climate in a major city like this. They, with all these people, they especially cut them adrift, because that is a real problem. The more the population, the less they seem to respect and hold regard for human life. I mean, come on. That's why in smaller towns, everyone's one big family, and in big metropolitan cities, all these dang people, they're ready to eat each other. They resort to cannibalism. because there's just too many people. The Bronx. The Bronx. What was I going to do? Tell everybody to eat? I'm sorry, I'm a little... What was I going to do? What was I going to do? Was I going to tell everybody personally to just team up? Be friends? I thought about how much good I could do. I tried to basically tell somebody what we were doing. I thought about just telling everybody, look at it this way. We're all connected. One of them said to me, what they said, no, we're not connected, man. See, man, that's why people don't care about us. The people who basically have a job, a place to stay, they're connected. And they don't even do right by that. We're connected to the first step. The first step, I think everyone out here on the street, all these people out here, connected. I managed to basically try to get everyone together. I got everyone to basically share stories with each other, to talk. Now, they kind of already knew each other, but I want them to really know each other. I told everybody to share something about themselves. I told my story. I go through it again, but come on, we got to get on the next episode of this show. How many times have I done it previously on Kakuna from the microphone? Here's the thing. They were skeptical. If we were vagrants, how come basically we can afford to drive, keep driving and driving and driving? Where's all that money coming from? What are you guys, drug dealers or something? We're trying to help the homeless. Unite everybody. But they wonder if a guy had that kind of money, why would he bother? What, they have too much time on their hands? What was it? It's weird. It made no sense. And you know what? Maybe that's all right. I try to tell everybody, basically, they could tell from my accent I was not from the Bronx. I try to tell them we're going all over trying to basically help the really disenfranchised. We all need to be connected. Connected. I don't know. Try to tell everybody we're helping each other. Well, we're trying to basically do all this. Whatever. What was the answer? Well, I believed basically in a roof and four walls for every head. No. That can come later. The first thing to do was unite everybody, get everybody to get along. But this is New York. People are basically not good to each anywhere but New York. Maybe we can make some hobo casserole, something to unite all these people. What was the answer? I didn't know. I honestly didn't know. I just had everybody talk to everybody, and I said, we can all get along if we're just united. We just need to unite. We need to unite. See, I had a vision. Hear me out. The homeless people could basically be like the real United of America. the states are only united because basically America legally tried to plant the flag everywhere, make it part of whatever. And you know something? I think some of that, I always get the weird feeling that Mexico and Canada will want, are up next. Who knows? Maybe America will conquer England in some way. There'll be more. But you know, let them have that. The people. We can work together for something greater. We can all be connected. We can all be, brother, if you let us. They all laughed. Keep dreaming. I encourage them to tell everybody who they are, what they are. What are you? What are you about? What are you all about? What is your thing? Be a long way. Really, it was not an easy anything. The truth is, things were still bad. So what was I to do? What could I honestly do? I kept trying to convince everybody, like I was trying to sell them something. These people were not in a position to buy anything, but on the streets you need faith. I don't know what to do. And you know what? I remember one organic case that I kept pushing and pushing and pushing and pressing and talking. And after a while, I think I actually started to convince them. Some of them started huddling and teaming up more together. Few of them were sleeping alone. I don't know. I don't know. They were starting to come around. I talked to one of them, Toby, and I asked him, "You like this place? I mean, are you happy here?" He said, "Can't imagine living anywhere but New York. Something is uniquely New York. The state is, it's the biggest state there is, the Empire State, but dang it. There was really something about the Bronx, hometown pride. Doesn't need to be in a metropolis like New York City. The Bronx had something special. I want to tell about the beauty of McKinleyville. I know everybody from every single city needs to scream hometown pride. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. I don't know. Unless you hated where you lived your whole life, you have love for the place you were. That was your home. I want to tell about how beautiful. I was playing McKinleyville. We had everything. We had snow. We had summer. We had the woods. We had the trails. Home of the world's tallest totem pole. It wasn't just beautiful. We had everything. But sometimes you do want to see what the rest of the world has to offer. He said, you almost want to be like a drifter. What job? How can you be paid to be a drifter? One of them said, well, maybe you were a trucker or something. Nah, man. Truckers are about to a schedule. They can't stop by. I mean, they can enjoy pictures of scenery, but they can't stop and hang around and lounge. Got to drop stuff off and whatever. You're a messenger. Lonely being a messenger all the time. I don't know. The fact is, it is 9:30 right now, 30 minutes after the hour here on the program Kakuna from the Microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces. Once again, we're at 1-515-605-9709. 615. No. Six. Dang, I lost the number. Okay, hold on a second. 515-605-9709, $1 first. And the program is brought to you by Organic OK. And it was actually, he wants you to check out someone named Maya Harrison. She's got a website and everything. Back to our program. All right. Now, it is a fact of life that basically some places are going to be better to live than others. But you can grow accustomed to them. Call it home. That's a fact. You know, one thing that I remember thinking, there was a time basically when civilization was first founded. It was in Egypt originally. People all working together to build basically something. But then, I don't know, something bad happened. You know what I'm talking about. It's like, I don't know. Maybe there were just too many people and that it just got overwrought. We all need to be working together. Working together. Together. We all need to be working together. Maybe we're not doing that so much anymore. This isn't a case of, you know, people just deciding they'd rather drift in a way. That's what happened. You know the funny thing? A lot of those people on the street, some of them told me they wanted to break bad, fall off the grid. They felt better now than they ever have in their lives. But I was the one who was literally telling people that really, you can do something. You can be something in the here and now. You can, you're not just basically a guy trying to get off the street. Because some of them, because Organic OK said they can do some real living out here like this. So what was the answer? I got a few more of them to work together. I got a few more of them to get to know each other and try to be more friends, work together as a team. I try to convince everybody that we're all in this system kind of together and whatever. There's a we thing, and there needs to be more of a we thing. That's something real. That's real. But we're casting basically so many people off and adrift. You know, I figure they might as well make the most of it. We're going to be a team or whatever. As that was going to happen, I got jumped. No, it's true. Some trashy thugs, the kind that laugh around like monkeys and carry weapons or whatever. They were all laughing. One of them called me on the street. As I walked by to tell them the message, one of them pushed me. I was like, whoa, what is this? They were all talking about how bad they were. They were a gang. A gang. Maybe they weren't even officially a gang, just a collection of thugs. I was afraid. As I tried to basically get out of there, one of them stopped me, got right in my face. He said, where are you going? I wanted to make some smart-ass remark, a real retort, but they were just looking for trouble. It was a hell of a thing. I remember so many times in my life where I got pushed last time, but I didn't push back. They just wanted that because of retaliation, they just wail on me, gang, whatever. Wish I learned how to defend myself. But I don't know. I was no Chopsaki martial art fighter. At a time when that kung fu stuff was coming to style because of all the pop culture, whatever, I should have jumped on that bandwagon. I was being pushed and attacked. Some of the other vagrants stood up and went right at the gang, making it very clear there was going to be some violence. And they not. They pointed at me and they said, he's with us. I was touched. I let out a breath. They tried to laugh, but the gang tried to laugh. But one, because they were scared. This was about to become a fair fight. Maybe not even that, because they were a lot bigger than these guys were. One of them said, ugh, these guys stink. I don't want them touching. Yeah, I'd beat their ass, man, but they just stinks. They started to walk away. One of them gave one last push before he walked off. He fleed away, ran very lightly. Never let them know you're afraid. I don't know. For a moment there, I felt a little nervous and whatever, because it wasn't one-on-one. I couldn't stand up for myself. We were on the streets. I wanted to start packing heat. I thought about them. Everyone in a bad neighborhood basically wants to start packing heat. It's true. Before you know it, you can honestly be lying there all laid out. Someone's going to pull a gun. It's like the Western. Who's gonna pull out the gun faster? And even if you kill somebody, even if you basically win, okay, because it's like a Western. You got to shoot first. And even if you do, won't somebody be coming around looking? Or somebody fingers you? Even if you shoot a criminal or a vagrant, feel like you still killed somebody. It's still on you because you took a life. I want a weapon. I want to be safe. Now I know no one who picks up a weapon like that in this day and age is really truly going to be safe. Then again, that doesn't mean picking up a weapon. That doesn't mean never touching a weapon of any kind is going to mean you're safe either. Not in a place like this. Now, I don't want to say violence never solves anything, because sometimes it does. But you got to know where and when. They didn't really hurt me. Of course they didn't, but I knew they would have. I don't know. What was I going to do? Sorry about all this dead air, but, you know, there's going to be dead spots, but it's just I'm going back thinking about all that noise, all that whole whatever, and think about how these guys put up with stuff like that every night. I'm telling you, I saw this on the street in really bad neighborhoods. There were people looking for trouble, looking for real trouble. And you know what? They go after the homeless because they think, who are the homeless going to run to? It's not just the cops aren't always there. Sometimes they are, but they're there for taxpayers. We're on the street. We're not exactly paying their salary. Organic OK maybe, but I'm not. Organic OK told me, dude, it happens. Look, you got a job, okay? Your job, I'm keeping you along on this thing to basically come help these people, whatever. And you know what? no matter what job in the world you have, not everything is going to be such smooth sailing. But yeah. I wanted to do something. Remember when martial arts was basically first brought over to America and people learned it? I just want to take it up so I can learn to fight back. I want all these people to do the same thing. But all the homeless people to be united together by their bond, you know? Because martial arts is kind of, it's a religion, it's a lifestyle choice. It's not just about learning how to fight. It's about learning self-reliance, self-management, whatever. And in an environment like this, nobody needed that more than them. You know, it's too late for a lot of things. Things I wish I did. And I didn't do them because, I don't know, the bad habits were too addictive. I talked about how we stood up to those rowdy thugs. And you know what? That's what we should do just a little bit more. Not just to them. Stand together. Stand around. That was an example right there. Something really important happened that night. In a way, me getting attacked turned out to be a turning point. Because it showed everybody why we need to work together. They can't push us anywhere if we all stand together. If they try, we'll pummel and clobber them. Honestly. So we did. One guy dude who knew a bunch of basic martial arts stuff showed me some tricks, some gimmicks. We made up our own. We also did them to each other. I showed them a little bit of yoga. I knew some yoga. I knew how to stretch and whatever. And you know what? That transcendental whatever, that stuff really helps you out when you have a life as stressed out as the one you got. You know something? I'm starting to think we're going towards something better. I basically, once again, try to convince everybody one thing that might help would be picking up the garbage. Just clean up, not totally cleaning up, but just cleaning up a little bit so that we can live a little nicer. I knew one guy who actually covered himself with garbage to keep people from messing with him. Because if they think you're that filthy, if you seem filthy, then you really are, even. Away from you. I have no weaknesses. I don't know. I basically did a little bit of shadow boxing. That's something my father taught me. And you know what? I knew how to do it, but my problem is I had the speed and the moves and the agility, but I did not have the build. I couldn't throw a punch hard enough to send the heavy bag, like make it really move, even a little. And if I took any kind of punch, I'd break like a fortune cookie left out in the rain. I'm a lover, not a fighter, I used to say. But dang it, it was up until recently. I wasn't even really a lover. It's about those romances I had in Antigua and once again in Florida. But they were too far away from here. Relationships that start out like that don't last, but I just wish they didn't last. The last was just a little longer. 45 minutes after the hour here, 9:45 here on the program, Kakuna from the microphone with DJ Butterfly Feces. The one, the only. Please do not accept any substitutions. Now, listen, get involved with the cause. We're at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. Please, get involved. Let's do something. We taught each other a little bit of martial arts and transcendental breathing and meditating while we were out there on the street. We united. I got people in the Bronx to unite just a little bit more, and I had to encourage them, please keep it up. I'm going to go and try to spread the message. It's all about the message. Spread the message. I'm asking you out there in Radio Land to spread the message too. Now, there is a message, and I'm not just saying in this basic, we need to preach. We've been talking about the way we need to work together as a team since forever. We're still in an age where basically we're turning against each other. I don't know. We all want to basically go back to childhood again because we remember a time when it was easier to impress us, when money and bills and stuff was worried for us. I don't know. Too much of life is spent wishing you could go back or go ahead. The best thing to do, the right thing to do, find a way to make the present work. What to do, what to do, what to do. I don't know. What to do? Before I left, I picked up some of the garbage. I tried to convince some of the others to do the same. Just live a little nicer. They did, but they didn't do much of it. They said the garbage made some of the Bronx theirs. And that's the whole point, dude. The world is all yours. See, it's not about, you know, my friend. It's not about life. It's not about limiting everything. It's not about dividing everything. It's not about trying to make sure this is mine. We all kind of need to be together in some way. The rich man and the poor man and the middle class man, we all need to be. Stop trying to outdo the other. And just be. And you're still thinking that sounds sappy, but it needs to happen. It's needed to happen. You know what? In a way, it's sort of been happening, but it's been happening too slowly. Maybe it needs more people thrown out on the street for us to finally get the message. But the end of civilization and life may be coming very soon. And one needs to ask the question. What are you doing for it? We started to pack our things, basically. I mean, once again, me and the gang, we were staying in a relatives of motel in the Bronx. I don't know. I took little decorative soaps and shampoo, poos and conditioners. I haven't took a washcloth or two. Not a towel. I'm not greedy. And I thought about the people on the street, whatever, who didn't have much to do and whatever. And something occurred to me that I'm stealing stuff like that from a motel room, and then I realized something's wrong with me. See what I did? I put the washcloth back. Once again, we need to be united. Besides, we're getting, okay, said, dude, don't take anything too major, okay? They check that stuff. They check that stuff when it's missing. They charge your card, man. I'm already paying your way. Man, they penalize. They're going to penalize my card, man. Don't pull nothing. So, fine. I walked out of there once again knowing I made a difference. Every single time, but it's like I'm going to make a difference. I'm not. But you know what? Then I do. But I can't take all the credit for it. It wasn't just me. It was basically organic, and it was his message. He had the right message. people have this message for the longest time. But I think it took something like this happening to get us to really push that message. What to do? As we're in the car again, once again, I realize I wish we'd stayed a little while longer because I always felt I could make more of an impact than I did. You know, it's funny. No matter what I do, no matter what, all I'm thinking is, we should have stayed a little while longer. It could have been better. Once again, man, it was kind of cold. We're in a part of the world where it got cold. Snow cold. And I was outside on that street trying to get everybody to hustle. Organic Cake Girl said, dude, next time I'm going to give you a tent and a sleeping bag and I want you to sleep out with the rest of them. No, dude, you can't be one of them unless you're living like they are. We're not going to get the message across unless you really walk amongst them. Dude, it's easy for a rich guy in a mansion to tell some guy on the street telling you, smile, it's free. You know something? They got a reason to smile. Don't tell them that unless you're one of them. Well, none of us really were. I know I don't have a residence or employment or whatever, but dude, I mean, we're not really one of them. We're not out there like they. Well, maybe you need to be a little bit to get some appreciation. I don't know. I kept looking back. I kept trying not to look back. It's an old phrase, don't look back. Don't look back at what was and what could have been, what shouldn't have been, but wasn't. Don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened. I know I'm speaking of fortune cookies right now, but I don't know. I always wish I could have made just a little bit more of, okay, the next place we go to, I'm going to pick up way more garbage. I'm going to try 10 times harder to convince everybody to listen. And I'm going to have faith in myself that I'm going to basically make a bigger impact than I am. Where to next? I asked him. Organic looked at me. Dude, you don't need to know where we're going. Yeah, I want to be prepared a little bit so I know what to do. No, dude, just know something. We'll know when we get there. You'll know when we get there. And here's the thing. Just try the same old thing, trying to help people. Connect. Do that. Help the disenfranchised. I came up with new ideas. What was I going to do? Try to get everyone to convince their resources, pick up the garbage. Try to convince everyone to make things a little bit better for those who live. Do what? Next place I said, I'm going to do everything. I'm going to pull out all the stops. This is going to be it. This is going to be something. Dang, I'm already so scared. I'm excited. I'm going to do everything. I don't know. Thank you for listening here. It is 9:56 right now here on the program. DJ Butterfly Feces cocooning from the microphone. Please get involved with the cause. We're Blog Talk Radio. We're also on Twitter, 515-605-9709. And we're on Twitter. And Maya Harrison, a musician who does a lot, whatever, she's anxious for you to see what she's capable of. Check her out. Check her out online, whatever. You've only begun to scratch the surface of what we're capable of, what we're doing. Wait, the show, really, we've only just begun. Please. This big thing's going to happen for this program. Get involved. Thank you for listening. Thank you. And this is DJ Butterfly Fees. He's telling you, tune in tomorrow. Because when you see what happened next, a lot of it has to do with where we wound up. Thank you. And good night.